there is some very enticing and interesting things that happen in Vayishlach. The whole encounter that Jacob has with God is not only strange, you know, it's awesome, it's weird, it's somebody wrestling with a man, but yet we see that it's not really a man, it's God. And he sees God face to face. And because of that, it says, and my life was delivered because of seeing God face to face. You heard Aaron read it in the Torah reading. And it is through this experience that Jacob receives a new identity, a new name is given through this encounter that he has with God. But I want to jump ahead. We're going to come back to that. But I want to explore in the following chapter, in chapter 33, something that happened as a result of that encounter that Jacob had with the Most High. In verse 10, in fact, could I have somebody with a nice voice read that? Chapter 33, verse 10. Anybody? Okay, I'll read it. But Jacob said, "No, I beg you, if I have now found favor in your eyes," this is Jacob speaking to his brother Esau, "if I have found favor in your eyes, then accept my gift, my offering, my mincha from me, inasmuch as I have seen your face, which is like seeing the face of God. And you were appeased by me. Receive my offering," Jacob says. This is after Esau doesn't kill Jacob, and Jacob doesn't have to kill Esau to defend himself. Jacob says, "Man, seeing you, seeing your face, is like seeing God's face. First of all, this is really amazing. I'm not aware of any other place in Scripture. Now, if I'm wrong, you can let me know, and I'll quickly deny that I ever said it. But if it's the only place I'm aware of where it ever says that someone sees the face of God, not in God, but in another person. Jacob says, "I'm seeing your face, but it's like seeing God's face." And while I think that Jacob is really glad that Esau and these 400 guys didn't show up to kill him and massacre his family, I think Jacob's pleased and glad that this has been a good outcome. I think there can be something more. I think there is something more going on here in Jacob saying, "Seeing your face is like seeing the face of God." So, what is it that Jacob is seeing? What is it about Esau's face? What is it that makes him think of God's face? I'm glad you asked. So, let's back up, and we're going to step into part of the verses that Aaron read for us. Back to chapter 32, beginning in verse 21. That is, if you have a Tanakh or a Chumash. If you have an English Bible, it's verse 20. It's a long story. Sometimes the verses don't sync up exactly between the Jewish version and the English version. In fact, could I have someone read that verse? 21.
Then you are to say, look, your servant Jacob is also behind us. For he thought, let me appease him with the offering that goes ahead of me, and afterward see his face. Perhaps he'll lift up my face.
Thanks, Les. Nice loud voice. I appreciate that. And the people online appreciate that. It's interesting that in this verse, the word, you heard Les say face twice. It's actually used four times. And that is because the word face in Hebrew will sometimes take on the idea of a preposition that means in front of something or someone, or before something or someone. Karen, can I have you come be my object lesson? So,
are we going to be Ezra connected?
Yes. Okay, so she is in front of me, right? She is before me. So we're face to face. So my face is facing her, thus she's in front of me. Thank you very much. So that is how in Hebrew, the word that means before something or in front of something is a version of the word face. You go, how does face mean in front of? But now you get it. So Hebrew, by the way, happens to be a very tactile, very physical language that uses parts of your body in those kinds of expressive ways. For instance, one of my favorites, to be patient means that you have a long nose. I'm not kidding. Having a long nose means you're patient. And having a stiff neck means that you are stubborn. And if you, it's beyond the scope of the current discussion, but if you want to think about how they get patient out of having a long nose or stubborn out of a stiff neck, just think about what you do with those body parts when you're stubborn or when you're not patient, and you'll start putting together some of those idiomatic, lovely idiomatic Hebrew things. So back to this verse 21 of chapter 32. So Jacob literally says, and I'll definitely insert the word face four times in here. Jacob says, I will cover or appease his face with the gift that is going before my face. And afterward, I will see his face, and perhaps he will lift up my face. It's very interesting that it goes, his face, my face, his face, my face. Did you know that Jacob could speak poetry? There's rhythm to this. Not only that, for those of you like Aaron or Karen or Lenore or others, David, that chant Torah, you would note that the trope marks, the cantillation, places a pause on each time the word face occurs in that verse. What I mean is that by pausing on that word, it's driving home the awareness of the travail in Jacob's spirit. To cover someone's face or to appease someone, your translation may say appease, it's this idea, it's actually already happened, that idiom has already been used in the book of Genesis. It means to remove the sting of the accusation, the hurt, or whatever it might be. Jacob says, I will cover his face with the offering that is going, this tribute, this gift, that is going before my face. Pause. And afterward, I will see his face. Pause. And perhaps he will lift my face. You see, Jacob, we've already mentioned that his fear about what's going to happen when he encounters his brother. There's guilt there over the decades about stealing the blessing, the issue about the birthright, the issue about the blessing. Jacob had stole it from his brother and tricked his father. Although, I'm not so sure Isaac was tricked, but we can talk about that another time. You see, and Jacob understands that a brother who is offended is a hard place to stand. A brother offended is hard to win back. And so Jacob is expressing this by this emphasis on his face. I want to cover his face with the gift that's going from my face. And afterward, I will see his face. Oh, and perhaps he will lift my face. Again, lifting the face is an idiomatic way of saying perhaps he will accept me. But the Hebrew is so poetic, he'll lift the face. He'll look into my eyes, and there will be acceptance there. So how does this happen from Jacob? How do we get from this passage in chapter 32 to that verse in the next chapter that said that Jacob could look on his brother's face and see the face of God? Something has happened between that time and what we see like 20 verses later. In fact, in chronologically, it's only hours later that chapter 33, verse 10 comes along. Something happens. Something unique is going to cause a transformation within Jacob that is going to bring shifts of magnitude, of significance. Chapter 32, verse 25. And so once again, that might be verse 24 in your English Bible. Could someone please read? Could I have a reader? Okay. Verse 25 through 31.
So Jacob remained all by himself. Then a man wrestled with him until the break of dawn. When he saw that he had not overcome him, he struck the socket of his hip. So he dislocated the socket of Jacob's hip when he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the dawn has broken." But he said, "I won't let you go unless you bless me." Then he said to him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he said. Then he said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but rather Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men, and you have overcome." Then Jacob asked and said, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "What's this? You are asking my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob named the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life has been spared.
Thank you, Rosie. So this is the story of the struggle in the encounter that Jacob has with the man he wrestles. And of course, it mentions that he's wrestling a man, and then thereafter it uses God in the story. And so it ends by Jacob receiving God's blessing. It ends by Jacob receiving the name change. But did you catch that last verse? It says, "For I have seen God," which in itself is awe-inspiring, "but I've seen God face to face." Panim el panim. Face to face. And my life was delivered. My life was preserved. By the way, this is a Hebrew remark. If your translation says, "and yet my life was spared," that is, as we say around here, that is where translation has become the first level of interpretation. The word "yet" is not in the text. I checked all the Bibles on my shelf at home, and out of like a half dozen versions, all of them, including this one I have here, says "yet." I like to read this: "I have seen God face to face, and so my life was delivered or preserved or spared." It is not an adversative. Seeing God face to face is not something that is adversative, but yet life-giving. And my life, my literally in Hebrew, nafshi, my life, my soul was delivered. He saw God face to face. I don't know what that means, and I can't express that, but Jacob encounters God on this return home that has been so fear-inducing. We read earlier of his distress, how he's agonizing over this encounter with his brothers. It's as if Jacob is literally quaking in his floor shimes, or his, you know, whatever brand of sandals that you know you think are best. Jacob is afraid. But through the encounter with God, Jacob is transformed. We see that in how Jacob's name is changed. Not just the name. Recognize that in a biblical worldview, in a Middle Eastern context, an ancient setting, your name represented your identity, and we see that over and over throughout Scripture. So it's not a label, it's not a moniker that gets changed. His identity is being transformed by the encounter with God. Jacob means one who grasps, one who supplants, one who in his character tricks and deceives. Now he will be one who, as the passage says, one who strives and struggles with God. Yisrael, El. Do you hear the name of God at the end of Yisrael? Now God's identity is within Jacob, upon Jacob. So his name has been changed. Also, Jacob has received the blessing from God. That blessing that he has struggled to achieve is now confirmed and reaffirmed by God. God says, you will be blessed. And Jacob has the chutzpah to ask for it. Encountering God face to face transforms Jacob. Note the connection that I'm building here with this word face. In verse 21, we had those four faces. I'm hoping that I can appease my brother's face, and I'm hoping he'll lift my face. But then he encounters God's face. And out of that, he can, in verse 10 of chapter 33, he can say to his brother, I have seen your face, and it is like seeing the face of God. Here, again, the word face occurs. It's twice in that verse. Jacob not only sees Esau's face, but he sees in Esau's face God's face. As I began, I'm not sure that this is merely Jacob's gladness that Esau didn't kill him, that Esau's willing they're able to walk, they're even going to share a meal together, which is the Torah way of talking about how they have come to relationship with each other. I think Jacob can do this because he has been able to forgive Esau. For Jacob to say, I see in your face the face of God, means that Jacob can be able to forgive his brother. Until Jacob is able to find that place of forgiveness, to let go of the fear and the guilt, to let go of the resentment and the anger, the bitterness, Jacob couldn't say to Esau, I see God's face in you. And I think that in application, it's not that way for us either. Until we can see the face of God in another, until we can do that, I am not sure that wholeness and forgiveness, the absence of guilt and fear and suspicion, has been eradicated. What made it possible? Jacob encountering God face to face. So we're telling the story through the use of this one word. Faces scared the heck out of Jacob. Esau's face, that is. And it was only, he can only look at Esau because he has seen the Most High. in our life and in our struggles, the meeting that we have with others must be through an encounter with the Most High. I'm not sure precisely what it means to see God face to face. But in the beauty and the amazing nature of that encounter, we too can be transformed. Let me point out a verse in the Haftorah portion. It's from Hosea. It says that God encountered Jacob and struggled with Jacob. And then two lines later, it says, and he spoke to us. God encountered Jacob and struggled with him. And as a result, he has spoke there to us. In fact, that's so weird. The NIV translation changes the translation and says him. God spoke there to him. Because to us seems, well, radical. But I submit that he has there spoken to us. We are part of the story. Unless we encounter God face to face, how can we see the face of each other? How can we, even beyond that, see the face of God in each other? We must let go of the bitterness. We must let go of the fear. We must let go of the guilt. We must let go of the suspicion. And until we can see the face of God in the other, those things will still remain. But it doesn't happen easily. It might even hurt. Jacob limped from his encounter with God. And I don't know what it would mean for our lives, but we not only need to encounter God, we must encounter God. We must encounter his face. And in conclusion, I want to weave in one more thought. It's not in the story here, the story of faces in chapter 32 and 33. It's in Numbers chapter 6. It's the priestly blessing, the Birkat HaKohanim, that was to be recited by Aaron and his sons, the priests, in order to extend God's blessings to the people. And you know it well as we end every service with it. Yivarechecha v'yishmarecha. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and so forth. But do you remember the third line of that, the third and final line of that prayer? It says, Yisa Adonai panav elecha. May the Lord lift up his face. There's that same language that Jacob used in chapter 32 of Genesis. Perhaps a face will be lifted up in my encounter with Jacob. And at that point, Jacob could only say, perhaps it will happen. Now we know that it can through encounter with God. Here, amazingly, The same language about lifting a face is used for us in our relationship with the Most High. May the Lord lift his face and establish peace. Establish relationship and wholeness, completeness, and well-being. Shalom, in other words. Nothing missing, nothing broken, because God has lifted his face for us. If God has lifted faces, his face, for us, and therefore he's looking at us face to face, if he's lifted his face to us, we have seen him, we are seeing him face to face. And so because of his blessing, then we can see the faces of those that we've described. And we can even see the presence of God there. It's amazing that out of this story, not only is Jacob transformed, not only does he get a new name and a reaffirmation of blessing, but his relationships are transformed. May ours be as well. Amen.